This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Everybody, and welcome back to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and well, it's good to be back. It's been a while since I've been on the show, or I've done the show, really. You know, we've been doing so many different things. You know, there's been a lot of stuff going on, obviously, after the season was over. This is actually, if you're listening to me right now, if you're listening to this podcast, this is actually the first time that we're recording the podcast, in the sense that we're putting it, recording as in video recording. So if you're listening to me right now and you want to also, or you want to see it in video and you want to see my face or whatever, and you haven't seen me, you know, do my shtick, live in real time, check it out at, on YouTube. At youtube.com, I think it's Y Nada Más Podcast. Just look up Y Nada Más Podcast. That's where I the same name, Y Nada Más Podcast. Really, there's nothing on our YouTube channel except for this episode and then the intro video that I created, which has been flagged for copyright, obviously, because it uses a couple of La Liga stuff. So I don't know if you're really going to be able to see it there. I don't know. Or I think I might have it as private right now. So this might be the only thing that you're going to be able to see on the YouTube channel. But the idea is to keep, now that we're moving into season two of the podcast, essentially the idea is to continue to do video podcast versions of, you know, of the podcast. I'm going to see how easy it is to kind of do all of this stuff. Believe it or not, you know, starting a podcast and doing a podcast like I did, you know, when I started this thing, pretty much last season, at the beginning of last season. So it was September of 2020. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I had a couple of different people with me, on board with me and helping me out with things. And, you know, as things happen, when things become a little bit more difficult, or they realize, you know, there's actually a lot more work that goes into it, you have people that start kind of dropping off the wayside. So I had a couple of people drop out the wayside. And really, it is myself that is producing the podcast now. You know, a friend of mine who is a graphic designer helps me with everything that you guys see on the Instagram account, everything that you guys see when it comes to graphics. Although I do graphics as well, he helps me with that side, so I don't have to do it. And, you know, so we're taking, you know, we're trying taking on more people. We, you know, I want, you know, to have more writers for the blog. So my good friend Trombach, you guys have heard of him. Some of you guys that do that follow the Madridista Twitter probably know Trombach. He writes for the Goalpost. He writes for a couple of different places as well. And he is, of course, a big help with this podcast. He is somebody that I'm going to be including more in the podcast. He's all the way from India. He's all the way in Calcutta, does a lot of stuff out there, with, you know, the Madrid, you know, with the Madrid faithful out in India, and in his city. But besides that, I'm going to start including him more in the podcast. You know, we got him a better mic. We got a couple of things working together, in order to make it sound really good. So I'm going to bring him on more as, this season, especially this season, you'll see more of interaction with him and hopefully more interaction with other people, that I want to bring on the podcast. Hopefully, you know, I would like to bring in other other Madridistas that we've, you know, that you guys probably have spoken to or have tweeted, on football Twitter, some of the more active Madridistas and the people that I feel like I see eye to eye with. Because at the end of the day, guys, I am not a sports journalist. I am not like the guys at Managing Madrid who have, you know, they're writing some spectacular stuff. I get a lot of my information from them. I get a lot of my information from those guys. Definitely listen to a lot of the podcasts of Managing Madrid. They're doing a great job there, but they are like in the nitty gritty. You know, they are there. A lot of times they have access to a lot of things that we might not have access to. You know, I'm in Miami. I think some of them are kind of all over. I even think they have some people based in Madrid. You know, the Spanish football podcast, they're out there as well in Spain, being able to cover things a little bit more, more in depth and more face to face in Spain, whereas I can't do that all the way from here in the United States. My goal is, though, this year is to hopefully, now that COVID is sort of, I wouldn't say it's gone, but we're starting to see things sort of calm down and things move back to normal. They open flights back up to go to Spain for the United States. My goal this year is to definitely head out to Spain and definitely catch a game and cover some things when I'm out there. So that's going to be my goal this year. But the goal is also to grow the podcast and definitely grow everything that's going on with, you know, especially with our YouTube channel, and be a little bit more, I wouldn't say transparent because we're transparent, but I'm saying, like, you know, where you'll have more access to video stuff, you know, Facebook lives, Instagram lives. We're going to, Trombach and I are going to try to do some more of that stuff occasionally. I'll try to throw up a video here and there. I'm also looking to jump back on with my good friend Jota Real Madrid, who's going to be doing Real Madrid hub stuff, that he's still doing it. And I'm going to jump back on there and do some audio stuff. Hopefully, if we work things out. But there's a lot of great things coming. So really, I kind of took a break, you know. So to get back into the podcast, I kind of took a break. And this one's going to be a short one because it's kind of a midweek thing. So, you know, to kind of let you guys know my story, if you are just joining the podcast. But, you know, I started this whole thing during COVID. I've been a long time a Real Madrid fan. My background, obviously, is boxing and Muay Thai. I did that for many years. Where I was, you know, fighting in the ring, coaching fighters, things like that. And then, you know, COVID sort of changed everything, where I was kind of stuck at home, working from home, working in the office, my home office, created a studio, which you see back here with all the Real Madrid stuff. And I've always been a Real Madrid fan. So I kind of decided, hey, you know, I already had a podcast a lot about Muay Thai and things like that. But, since COVID sort of slowed everything down, I jumped in and decided I wanted to do this podcast that you're listening to right now. So if you're joining us now, this is the second season of the podcast. Obviously, the games don't start. We got the first, we actually got the calendar for La Liga season today. Today is a Wednesday, June 30th. We got the lineup. We got the calendar today. So we know that the first game of the season will be August 15th. We know that Real Madrid will be playing Alaves. We know that, definitely El Clásico is going to be, it's going to be very interesting this year. We're getting a lot of news today, just today, a lot of news, obviously, about Messi's contract with Barcelona is officially over. It has officially expired. However, you know, there's a lot of culés that believe that he is going to somehow resign, or that he's still going to be a part of Barcelona. He has not said anything else. Obviously, he's right now focused on Argentina and the Argentina squad in Copa America. So it's going to be interesting to see what develops from that. Obviously, we have other developments in the sense that which was really sad to me, and I'll get into that in a second, which is we're not going to see Sergio Ramos. So that iconic picture that we had of El Clásico from a couple of years ago, where Messi and Ramos kind of clash heads, or they butted forehead to forehead, that famous picture of El Clásico that kind of was used and reused over and over again of those two guys. We can't use it anymore, essentially, because Ramos is gone, and we don't know if Messi is going to be there still at Barcelona. So this year's Clásico is going to be very interesting. We're going to have to see what is going to happen with it. What is going to happen? Who are going to be the major players in Barcelona, in Real Madrid? There's a lot of information flying around. Obviously, with the Euros going on, there were a lot of players that are sort of waiting until the Euros were ending or finishing to make their final decision about whether they were going to stay with Real Madrid or not. Such as Varane, we're still waiting on, you know, what's going to happen with Varane. We do know he's wanted to leave. We have to see how Eden Hazard is going to continue to perform with Belgium, although he is already injured and probably will not feature in the Italy game. Courtois is still looking as solid as ever. They're still in there. Toni Kroos looked, besides Germany being sort of not the German team anymore, I think Toni Kroos is really the best of what Germany has to offer at this point. They have a lot of young guns in there that are very interesting. Kimmich, Goretzka, there's a lot of great players. But I think it's their football has become quite a bit, I feel like it's become stagnant in the last few years under Low. We really have to see what's going to happen with that team. But Toni Kroos potentially might not even be playing with Germany anymore, as he wants to focus playing with Real Madrid. Modric looked fantastic with Croatia, but as always, in a lot of ways, he is sort of the aging player of a golden generation of Croatia that no longer exists. And a lot of these younger players are coming to Croatia, that's another thing. We're sort of seeing this era that is changing. You know, it was great to see Cristiano Ronaldo scoring goals, but at the same time, it was amazing to me to see, a Portugal team that is so stacked with talent still look so sort of bland, But this has been a strange Euro Cup in a lot of ways because, France looked great up until they met Hungary, and then you can kind of see that there was some issues there. And then they sort of fell flat. Mbappe did not look, at his best. He failed. He missed the last penalty. But there's been a lot of things, going around, obviously, of Mbappe and how he cost France the game, which I don't really think. I mean, they went to penalties. They kind of let the game escape them when they were up 3-1, which was much like Spain did when they were up 3-1 versus Croatia, although they were able to pull it out in the end. But France let it slip away, and this Euro has just been very up and down. I think, COVID, that last season of so many games, such a compressed calendar, really affected all the players, all the nations, and we're seeing that even in the international scene. So it's kind of interesting. It will be interesting to see, especially for me, now that the last season was crazy, and I use that word a lot because of the compressed season. The loss of so many players due to injury for Real Madrid. It was just up and down. There was drama everywhere. The Sergio Ramos renewal, which at the end did not happen. All the injuries, the COVID situation, Zidane's issue with, Zidane's, I guess, underlying issues there with the board that eventually saw him leave the club as well. So there's a lot of different things going on, and this will be an interesting season to watch as a Madridistas, because I think we are going to see really what the future is going to have in store. What worries me, however, and I think a lot of you are worried as well, is you're seeing movements from Barcelona when they're getting Memphis Depay, Eddie Garcia, they've apparently signed some of these players. It remains to be seen how that's going to work out with the Messi situation. But, you're seeing movement from PSG with Georgino Wijnaldum, looking like they're going to get Ramos, looking like they're also, front runners or interested in getting Varane. If we let him go, they've got Ashraf Hakimi. They essentially want to play. They essentially are so hungry to win that Champions League that they are going to throw everything at it. That seems like what they want. And I don't see much movement from Real Madrid, which worries me in the sense that it seems like our only focus is Mbappe, which if we're talking about news, the big step was made today where Mbappe has come out after his participation in the Euro Cup and has said that he will not renew his contract with PSG. And he will wait until his contract ends and will leave in 2022, which obviously, with how expensive and how valuable he a player he is, there is no way that PSG is going to let him go on a free as a free transfer in 2022. So does this put the ball in Madrid's court to finally get Mbappé? You know, what is Al Khelaifi going to do? The owner of PSG, what is the manager of PSG, the president of PSG, what is he going to do to keep Mbappé? We already know that it seems he's kind of come out with a lot of words that seem, in a lot of ways, it seems like he wants to keep the guy there. You know, he wants to keep the guy there almost by force and will not let him leave. We have to see what's going to happen because it seems like Mbappé at this point does not want to be at PSG anymore and is doing everything he can with his power to sort of force the move somewhere. But we all know it seems like it's going to be Real Madrid. There's obviously a lot of us were very happy to see him work together with Karim Benzema. And it's going to be interesting to, if we do get Mbappé and we've signed David Alaba and we keep Varane and we, you know, with the guys that we have like Militao, Ferland Mendy, with Odegaard coming back, which we already know that he will be coming back because Ancelotti has asked for him to be returned. If Hazard can remain fit, that is a very, very interesting team. Will they be world beaters? I don't know. I mean, I feel like we pounded and pounded and pounded on Madrid when it came to last year's performances. But at the same time, I think a lot of Madridistas did not look at the bigger picture was where there was a lot of injury. There was a lot of, there was a lot of drama. There was the COVID situation. Zidane, was trying to do the best that he could with what he had. And essentially, that's what we got. We got the best version of Madrid that we could possibly get. My question to all of you is, what could we possibly see from Real Madrid if they were all healthy? If all our players were healthy and really playing well? What will we be able to see from Real Madrid? We saw at the end of the season a very, very, the prospect that is Eder Militao and how strong of a defensive player he is going to be. How important Nacho is to this team, how important Carvajal is to the team, but also how important Lucas Vazquez is to the team. Even though I, slammed the guy, how important he is and how well he performed on that left flank throughout this entire year. The right flank throughout this entire year. Ferland Mendy has been strong, but he's obviously not good attacking. He is a much better player when it comes to straight defending. So our left wing side, Vinicius has not, paid the dividends that we thought he was going to pay, that we thought we were going to see from him. Will we see it this year? Will we see if they give him another chance? Will we see more of him, or will Eden Hazard start showing up? Those are a lot of the questions that need to be asked. If, Benzema has been absolutely phenomenal. He played phenomenally for France. There are just so many things to talk about that it's been, there's just so many things to talk about that I'm just kind of firing things off right now because of, I haven't done a podcast and I haven't spoken with you guys since the end of the season. And I kind of just dropped the mic after, the last game of the season because I hoped and prayed that we would come away with the victory. And it was an exciting last day with us getting the result, but then doing our part. And then even Valladolid scoring first, but we didn't get it in the end. So it kind of bummed me out. And then a lot of other things happened in the sense that now I have to really, focus on my time when I'm recording these podcasts because I'm back at the office. This room that you see here, this studio that me and my friends built when we started this podcast, this became sort of my office for the entire time that I was working from home. For an entire year and a half, I was working from this office. So it was really tough. You know, it was really tough to just be in here almost in a cave day in and day out. Now I'm back, you know, driving, commuting to the office where I work. And then, you know, coming back and trying to interact on Twitter and trying to interact on Instagram and trying to interact everywhere in order to bring you guys the podcast. And my goal now is also, of course, to do this video, to do the video side of things so you guys can also watch it on video. And that is very important to me because I think, you know, that's where we're seeing that podcasting is going. Podcasting is going in that direction. In that direction when it comes, you know, not only audio, but also video. So you guys can see that well, once again at the Y Nada Más podcast. But there's so many things going on. It's such an insane time right now for Madrid because we don't know what the team is going to look like. Essentially, I would say we kind of know. We know that things are not going to change. We know that Marcelo isn't going anywhere. Remains to be seen what Isco is going to do or what we're going to even get for Isco. But it will be interesting to see. I mean, essentially, I do think after the news today, will Mbappe come to Real Madrid? The chances are looking higher and higher, but La Liga as a whole is going to be extremely different next year if Messi doesn't renew. We know that Sergio Ramos is gone. You know, he's not here anymore at Madrid. It is going to be a very interesting. And for me, once again, one of the things I say always that I said last time when I was doing the podcast that I've said on many, many occasions doing this podcast is, it's really good to do a Real Madrid podcast right now, especially this time has been perfect because it is really a revolution of sorts. It is really a changing of the guard. It is really a new look to Madrid that we don't know what it's going to be. It's been a lot of drama, and drama obviously does well for podcasts because where would the drama be if Madrid, you know, in the years when we had CR7 and Gareth Bale, you know, the three, you know, La BBC, where would we actually have any excitement, you know, if we were just used to winning every single game? The only team, the only thing that coincided with, you know, the greatness of La BBC was the fact that we also had a very, very tough Barcelona at the same time challenging for the title. But you know, that was in La Liga, but when it came to the Champions League, we were absolute monsters in the Champions League. So, you know, while yes, it's great to win and it may, you know, winning is great and we all want to win. If we're winning consistently, I don't think there's a lot of drama. Now, do I want us to lose consistently? No, because I don't want to do a podcast, as Trombach would say, where I'm just angry all the time because I really freak out when the podcast is not, you know, I really freak out when we're not winning, you know, so, you know, I really get angry when we lose and it kind of ruins my whole day. So, you know, with that said, this is a great time, again, another season where it's going to be awesome to do this podcast. Because Madrid is always going to bring its sort of drama, but football is going to bring its sort of drama. There's a lot of all this stuff that's going on, obviously, with La Superliga and with the evolution. Obviously, Superliga didn't happen, but it did affect in some way what we're seeing with the movements of UEFA and what they want to do in the future for the Champions League. You know, we're seeing a different setup for the Champions League. We're seeing that they've done away with the away goal, you know, the away goal situation, the away goal rule. So what is that going to bring to the table? How is that going to affect things? So really, it's a very evolutionary period, revolutionary period and evolutionary period for football, seeing where things are going to go from here. So with all that said, I think, you know, obviously there's been a lot of news, especially, you know, today in El Chiringuito and in all over. It was about Messi. Messi's, you know, his contract ending. What is going to happen with that? Obviously, we're in the middle of the Euros, the Euro Cup, which has been a crazy Euro Cup with all the big, you know, favorites, the teams with all the names on them, essentially kind of dropping out. The teams that were people least expected to win are winning. You know, we have really some some player, you know, we have some teams like Denmark, Czech Republic, Ukraine, you know, that nobody would have expected to be in there at this time. Italy is sort of the, in some ways, has been seen, I think, one of the strongest teams at this point. England is there. England has defeated Germany. They got rid of their curse. Spain, who's obviously been hated on by Madridistas, many Madridistas, for Luis Enrique, and who I, you know, personally don't want them to win simply because I do not like Luis Enrique. And I'm sorry to all my Spanish friends, because as much as I love, you know, Spain and as much as I love the Spanish team, I can't stand that guy. And really, I would like to see him fail. Not the team, but him. And, you know, so really, I, you know, one of my best friends is from Denmark. So I like seeing what, you know, they've kind of turned around. Obviously, it was a sad situation with Christian Eriksen, but seeing how they've sort of used that whole feeling, you know, everything that kind of happened in the beginning, and then losing that game, and then losing their next game, and then, you know, squeaking out of the group, and now starting to look really, really well. Will this be a repeat of, you know, that their, you know, Cinderella story in the Euros? I believe it was, what was that? Was it 98, 96? I mean, I forgot which one it was that they won, but it was in the 90s, you know, with the Laudrups, you know. So will they be able to do that? I have a good friend that's from Denmark. He's going to be, you know, he's in Denmark right now, to just left to go watch the games and things like that. So it's going to be very interesting. And I'm kind of rooting for them because they are the major underdog. Definitely Belgium, because, you know, I would love to see Eden Hazard, you know, and Courtois walk away with the trophy. But I'm also a big, big, big Italy fan when it comes to anything Italian culture. So those are my three. Those are my three there. But the other thing I wanted to talk about really was, you know, I think in a lot of ways, a lot of people have been talking about, and I know it's been beaten to death, but it's the Sergio Ramos situation and the Sergio Ramos story. And I kind of wanted to close this shorter podcast with this. Man, I mean, I just feel like, Sergio Ramos, and this is what I'm going to say, I feel like there's part of me that's angry with him. There's part of me, and I think that a lot of my Madridistas might share that, there's part of me that is angry with him for being, well, you know, how they say in Spanish, pesetero. It seems like he wants money. Like, the only thing that's concerning him is money. You know, that is the reason why he essentially did not sign with Madrid. You know, he came out at the end, you know, when they did the press conference, and he said that, you know, that at the last minute, he definitely accepted, that he had accepted the deal, but that Real Madrid had told him the deal was no longer on the table. I mean, really, to me, that while it seems dirty for Madrid, at the same time, why would Sergio Ramos wait so long to finally make a decision? You were holding out, and you're sitting there holding on to, you know, holding on to this feeling that you're going to be able, or this, and I think it was him just badly managed by his brother. You know, I feel like his brother crying there in the conference room at the press conference really just showed, I feel like it was more that his brother realized he screwed his own brother's his own brother's career. Because honestly, that's what I feel like. I feel like Sergio Ramos and René Ramos went to play ball, wanted to play hardball with probably one of the best businessmen in Europe, who is Florentino Perez. And at this point, you know, he wasn't going to break the bank, especially in the times of COVID. He wasn't going to break the bank for Sergio Ramos or break the policy for Sergio Ramos the policy of not signing, you know, a player that is over 35 or 30, you know, that is over 30 for an extended contract or for, you know, for more than 1 year. He wasn't going to break that policy for Sergio Ramos. He was going to even let, they were even going to allow, and basically, you know, he told him, here's what, this is, I'm going to give you your salary. And essentially, you know, I'm going to give you a year extension. We love you. We want you to stay here. It's kind of up to you. The ball's in your court. And he held out. He held out. And I think at first the ball was in Sergio Ramos' court because Madrid wasn't doing as well. We didn't know that Militao and Nacho, you know, were going to have such an amazing rest of the season when Ramos got injured. But when Ramos got injured and these guys performed really well, I think they were somewhat banking. Ramos may have arrogantly banked on the thought that if these guys did not perform well, if Madrid did not perform well, everyone was going to say, this is what happens when you don't have Sergio Ramos. And that's not what happened. I would say we obviously always are going to miss somebody like Sergio Ramos, who is without a doubt one of the best center backs that has ever played the game, but and currently could be, probably is one of the best center backs in Europe. But, you know, the time that Eder Militao did not have time, the time that Eder Militao was not given to shine, he took advantage of it. You know, we always talk about these young players, especially in teams like Real Madrid, when they get these chances to shine, they really have to do it very quickly because teams like Real Madrid are not going to give you many chances. Well, Militao took that by the scruff of the neck and definitely showed everyone how incredible of a player, how incredible of a center back he is and can be and possibly will be for Real Madrid. And he's doing it now as well, showcasing that skill not only for Real Madrid, but he's done so for Brazil in the Copa America. He continues to show the world that and in a lot of ways, it's beneficial to us, is that we are going to have this guy for us. And then we also are bringing in another very, very good center back. He's coming from a team like Bayern Munich, which is David Alaba, which I don't know why people like seem to not be happy with him. He's an incredible player that is so incredibly versatile. He's still young. He's still, 28 years old. He's been tested, you know, at the highest levels in the sense of playing in the Champions League, playing in Bayern Munich, has been a starter for that team, which is not a team that takes, you know, starting people lightly. So obviously, you know, this is, these guys have showed us somewhat the future. So a lot of things, in a lot of ways, Sergio Ramos, going back to him, he was expecting that these guys, that he was expecting Real Madrid was going to really miss him. And that Florentino maybe would have come crawling to him and say, I'll give you the 2 years, you know, whatever it is you want, you know, you can have it. But that didn't happen. And he kept holding out and holding out and holding out. Doesn't seem like he was getting offers from somewhere else. You know, we've already seen what he wants. I believe it's something like 12 million euros is what he wants to sign him. So we have to see what's going to happen. You know, who's going to go after him? I mean, it looks like it might be PSG. He can go freely, you know, but he held out and he didn't sign the contract and until the end. And when it finally decided to sign the contract, Florentino was like, well, you know, that offer expired, man. And so it left a lot of questions to, you know, for me, that I am a big Real Madrid, a big Sergio Ramos fan. Absolutely love the guy, and I'm totally gutted that he's gone. And I'll go to that in a second, but I'm gutted because of the fact that also it seems like, you know, yeah, he did put money over essentially leaving Real Madrid with an incredible legacy. You know, and I've said it time and time again about going to another team where you're no longer going to be the guy that everyone's going to look at and be like, this is the captain, this is the man, this is the guy. You know, he had a family at Madrid. He had I'm guaranteeing you, everybody in Valdebebas knew Sergio Ramos, knew him closely, felt like basically he was part of the family. I mean, he'd been at the club for 16 years, and that's essentially why I feel more gutted. And I would say I'm more gutted about this, about Sergio Ramos leaving Real Madrid than I was when Cristiano left. Because remember, guys, I told you I became a Real Madrid fan back in, and it was about 96, okay? Raul was the first player that I became, that, you know, was my god and still is in many ways my favorite Real Madrid player. Second, I would say Luka Modric takes it away from everyone. But, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo, Zidane. But Sergio Ramos, you know, has been for 16 years in the club. You know, so for a lot of you younger guys that have got into Real Madrid at a younger age, let's say if, you know, I was just talking to my cousin who's visiting here from Colombia, and he's 18 years old. And he asked me, you know, how long had Sergio Ramos been at the club? I said 16 years. I mean, that's essentially how long I've been alive. So for a lot of younger Madridistas, Sergio Ramos has always been a part of Madrid. He has always been synonymous with Madrid. You know, he has always been a face that was recognized as part of Madrid. And even me, that I'm 38 years old, that is half of my life that Sergio Ramos has been a part of Real Madrid. You can essentially say some of my most formative years of watching football, where I got most excited about being a Madridista, were with Sergio Ramos. So seeing him leave, I mean, essentially, look, I mean, you have in back of me, that poster that's in the back is Sergio Ramos, you know? It's right there. You could see that's my, the only black jersey that I have, Real Madrid black jersey that I have is Sergio Ramos. And I have, you know, like I said, the poster, and then I have his profile. It's like the, kind of a painting of the profile of his face right there as well. He's one of my favorite players and has been for such a long time. And who is going to forget essentially, you know, the things that he did for us, you know, the insane plays. And of course, there is no play bigger. There is no play that's bigger than the header for La Decima. There is no big play bigger than that. And I can't play it here on video, but for you guys that are listening to audio, and I'll play it here, This is just amazing. I mean, I'll play it in both English and in Spanish. I can't play the video, obviously, because I'll get tagged. But this is just one of the most amazing moments that I ever had as a Madridista. Do you guys remember where you were when you saw this? You know, do you remember how hard you screamed when that ball went in against Atletico?
Modric takes. It's a header from Sergio.
Para el Atlético y muy cara está vendiendo la derrota en este tramo final del Madrid, pero estamos en el 47, aún no hemos llegado al 48. El remate,
¡no!
Gol de Ramos. Ha marcado Ramos el gol del empate en el último suspiro. Ha marcado Ramos. Ha marcado Sergio Ramos el gol del empate. Estalla el Madrid.
So yeah, so that is. That, I mean, and that's one of many, but that was probably, for many Madridistas, one of the most important goals that Sergio Ramos had ever scored. And where so many people remember where they were when that goal was scored. I was sitting on my couch in my old house, And I remember just screaming at the top of my lungs and kind of getting red in the face, almost like ready to choke, at how hard I was screaming for that goal, that I just could not believe that that had happened. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just like, you know, it's incredibly sad to me that he's gone. And then, and essentially, too, I just started watching the Amazon series, the second part of it, which is the first one was El Corazón de Sergio Ramos, and the second one, La Leyenda de Sergio Ramos. And it's just so sad to see him, you know, to think that he's going to be gone, to think that he's no longer going to be part of this team is absolutely just brutal to me. You know, I think I was writing to somebody the other day on Twitter. I think the only player, I've never shed tears for any player, but the only player I think, and as that I've gotten, I got close to it with Sergio Ramos. And I think I'm close to it with Sergio because it's just such an, I love how, what he's done, what he is for the club. He's just like one of those defenders that was a mean bastard, but he was our mean bastard, you know? And a lot of people talk about the red cards and how, you know, how rough he is and how dirty he could be. But at the same time, a lot of pundits have also talked about how you want that guy on your team. And now he was our guy. And now he's going to be a part, I just can't, of some other team. And I just can't imagine him being with some other team. It just bothers me to think that. And if it's PSG, oh, I mean, not that I don't hate PSG. I mean, I think PSG is just one of those clubs that, it's one of those money clubs. So it's like one of those that are hated because they just kind of came out of like, you know, really nowhere in a way that they weren't really a world-recognized club for much, for very long. And then suddenly now they are, you know, they are one of the biggest clubs in the world. But to see him with PSG, you know, after everything he's done for Madrid is going to be incredibly painful, you know. But in a lot of ways, he did it to himself, you know, and that's kind of what makes it more sad. And it's going to, like I said, it's going to be rough seeing him, but at the same time, at the end of the day, as much as a part of me is angry at him, part of me also just kind of feels sorry that I think he made the bad decision. He made a bad call. His management just, how would you say, lo gestionaron mal. They managed him incorrectly. They tried to play hardball with Florentino Perez, man. You don't play hardball with Florentino. You know, and that's not saying that I agree with everything that Florentino does, but on this occasion, I can see where it's going. You know, he's a 35-year-old player. Yes, he's legendary, but it didn't take a lot. To me, it doesn't. I don't kind of understand some of these players that are making millions of dollars, millions of euros, and especially during the pandemic, to be like, to not budge on the fact that, hey, man, we can't sign you for 2 years. Because you're 35 years old, man. You know, there's young guys up and coming, you know, and you want these guaranteed. It's like they want this guaranteed salary, but nothing in life is like that. There is no guarantees, man. You know, it's very rare that you're going to get that. And I think he wanted it because of the legacy. And some people can say, yes, it was owed to him. But we always kind of say there's this kind of two different mindsets. It's like, yeah, he's done so much for us. But then there's also that mindset in the world, which is like, nobody owes you anything, you know? And you know, why could Luka Modric, why could Karim Benzema, why were they just, you know, quietly, without any problems whatsoever, why do they accept, you know, a reduction in salary and whatever it was that Florentino wanted, you know, whatever he was going to pay them, why do they accept the contract? And the guy that is the icon of Madrid, the guy that is the captain, can't do it. So that's where it hurts. But at the same time, I don't, as much as I'm criticizing him there, none of this stuff that happened during his renewal, for me, is ever going to stain the legacy of Sergio Ramos at Real Madrid. I think he is one of the greatest players to ever play at this on this team, at least, you know, defensively, defenders, but also just not because of as a player, but as an icon of the team of, you know, of Real Madrid, Sergio Ramos was just incredible for us. And it's going to be very strange to see him in other colors, but it's also going to be strange to watch games from now on with a back line where Sergio Ramos is no longer a part of it. After 16 years, after half of my life watching him play in that back line and be an absolute wall, basically a stalwart for this team, it's going to be tough. So with that said, guys, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you guys for following us during this season that passed. We are getting ready. We are gearing up for season 2 of the podcast. I would just say the 2021-2022 season of the podcast. So remember, guys, you can follow us at enadamas.net is our website. You can see all of the episodes there, old episodes. You can see all of the articles that my good friend Trambach has written. I would love to have more writers. If you guys are interested in writing for us, if you are interested on possibly, you know, jumping on the podcast, any of you guys that are, you know, bloggers, sports journalists, wannabes, I guess, you know, some of you that are out there, and not wannabes in a bad way, that are trying to come up in that world. I would love to have you on. Like if I feel like you got, you know, some of you guys on football Twitter do a tremendous job with Madrid. So would love to have some of you on in the near future. But, you know, if you want to write for us, man, check us out at info@enadamas.net. Drop us a line there. Drop us an email there. Tell us that you want to write for us. And, you know, we'll see what we can do. Trambach has been writing for me, but he needs some help, too. He needs some backup, too. I definitely need some help occasionally if I am not here. If I'm not here to run the show, it's very, very, things don't get done. So thank you for that. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts. We are on Stitcher. We are on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio app for those of you that live here in the United States. We are on TuneIn. We are pretty much everywhere that podcast can be found. If you are following us on Apple Podcasts, please, guys, leave a rating. Leave a rating. Leave a comment. That helps us rise up in the ranks, you know. I say it time and time again, please leave us a rating and leave us a comment if you can, because that helps us rise up in the ranks on Apple Podcasts, which helps us get more visibility. So thank you for that. Also follow us on Twitter or follow me on Twitter, because that's where really I'm mostly active, which is at Inadamas Podcast. That's on Twitter. We are on Facebook at Inadamas Podcast, and we are on Instagram at YNM Podcast. So on Instagram is the only one that's different, at YNM Podcast. Even on YouTube, we are at Inadamas Podcast, which is where this video is going to be posted. So check us out there. And we're going to be having all sorts of cool content coming up. So hope to see you guys soon. Hope to talk to you guys soon. This weekend we'll talk. Definitely after the Euro games, I will do a podcast. See if I'll do a video one. I'll try to see if I can hook it up, because it's a little bit longer to get these done. But we're going to keep on bringing you some great content. Thank you for joining us for this podcast, for this episode of the Inadamas Podcast. And we'll talk to you again soon.
This has been Inadamas, Al Real Madrid Podcast.